Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined, as always, by our regular contributors, Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. So, now that we know who, the questions are what and how. What's changed? Not much. Same president, same Democratic Senate, same Republican House. So how does the gridlock get broken? Or can it be broken? Joe, anything in the election results you've seen that tells you there might be a change to the kind of no-compromise attitudes that have led us to this fiscal cliff?
Well, yes, the fiscal cliff comes at the end of the year, and it will be a it was how they solved the debt ceiling crisis last year, and it would be a combination of tax increases, you know, the end of the Bush tax cuts, and radical spending cuts. And Defense Secretary, former Defense Secretary Robert Gates put it well recently when he said, the fiscal cliff is like putting a gun to your own head and saying one more step and I'll shoot. Both sides have said in the days after the election, we're ready to talk, we're ready to compromise. But already the Republicans have basically said, you know, we'll go for more revenue as long as you don't increase the tax rates. And the Democrats have said, if you don't if you don't raise taxes on the wealthy, nothing's going to happen. So they're already at loggerheads.
Now, as an optimist might say, okay, if we go off the fiscal cliff with the tax increases and the spending cuts, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, the worst that could happen is a recession. And if we go off the fiscal cliff in full, meaning if the $600 billion or so of tax increases and spending cuts really comes into effect, then it's probably going to be at least a half a year's worth of recession. If we can get some kind of compromise in the middle, maybe come up with a $200 billion plan, you'd still be looking at a first quarter that would probably be down, maybe 1.5% growth instead of the 2.5 of the last year, but it would be bad.
You know, Jeff, the day after the election, the stock market really took a tumble. And the reason was very clear. The markets are terrified that the Democrats and the Republicans are not going to be able to work this out. Our debt's going to get downgraded. We're going to go into recession. Unemployment's going to be higher. And, you know, why do we just have an election?
Okay, so in the Congressional Budget Office, Honcho said just on Thursday, indeed, what you said, Ronald, this could lead to a recession. So let's beckon our listeners back off the ledge and ask a different question. What's the best case scenario?
Well, I think the best case scenario would, of course, be a Simpson-Bowles-like compromise. I mean, the fact is that the budgetary math for the U.S. doesn't work unless you have some tax increases, some new revenue, and some midterm entitlement reform. You have to have both of them to make it work.
But you can't do that in 6 weeks.
No.
And you got to remember that this has to be dealt with by a lame duck Congress. And then we start all over again with the new Congress. So the best you can really hope for is that they'll devise some kind of framework.
So the best case scenario really is what we see Washington doing pretty much all the time, which is postponing everything. I mean, you know, let's just stall this and maybe it'll go away.
Yes, but the difference is that the fiscal cliff was designed to stall it, but create all kinds of havoc if you didn't deal with it.
Yeah, and also remember that the Fed did a lot last year to fill in for the fact that Congress kept stalling with pumping a lot of money into the system. They're basically out of ammo now. So I think we really are at this ledge.
I mean, I'll tell you what amuses me, if that's the right word, is they built this as a doomsday device.
That's
just
right.
Like in Dr. Strange, you're thinking,
exactly right.
Surely this is so awful that they got to solve it. And what they forgot was in Dr. Strangelove, the doomsday device blows up. But this there's an allied question here, Ronna. We talked pre-election about whether an Obama win might weaken the clout of the financial sector, since they seem to go overwhelmingly this year for Romney. So, election's over. Are they in a much weaker position?
They're absolutely in a weaker position. I mean, they were in a weak position to begin with. Let's not forget, profit margins were down already. It was very clear that the banks were going to be re-regulated, probably broken up, made smaller, and that's absolutely going to happen now. There's no question about it. I'll be interested to see if Elizabeth Warren gets a seat on the Banking Commission. I think that she'll certainly be calling for more regulation. It'll be interesting to see if Gary Gensler, who's in charge of the CFTC, that's the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, who's been a really tough cop on the banks, if he gets a position at the SEC and gets a broader mandate.
I wonder, Joe, if the election of Elizabeth Warren and the re-election of Sherrod Brown of Ohio, one of the more anti-Wall Street senators, gives Obama the breathing room saying, either you guys work with me or you're going to be dealing with them.
Well, the part about Elizabeth Warren that I love is that, you know, she became a regulatory rock star, which is almost unheard of. But when she was putting together the Consumer Protection Bureau, she served as kind of a piñata for these same senators on the banking committee where she will likely now sit. I can't wait to see their first committee meeting.
Okay. Every week we look ahead to the stories you're watching. I want to put a little twist on it this week. With the post-election terrain clear, what's the one thing Washington absolutely needs to do? Let me start with Rana.
Well, I'm going to say act on the fiscal cliff. And I say act. We've talked a lot about what the details of this problem are. But really, they don't matter in some way. What matters is coming together for some kind of solution. You know, in business, there's often a risk of not acting. But in politics, a lot of times politicians think that the risk is in doing anything. Well, this time around, that is not the case. They've got to do something.
Joe?
Well, this is a little out there, Jeff. But, you know, what I think needs to be done is that the primary system needs to change so that it's opened up to more people and that the basically the extremists of the party don't wind up deciding who will run for Senate, because that's where you get the Tea Party candidates and you lose the moderates. And it's done. I think the rise of the primary system over the last 30 years has done a lot to poison our politics.
If I get a vote, the Senate has got to figure out how to make the filibuster less of a completely blocking experience. I mean, at least make the senators get up and actually filibuster, which they don't have to do. Because at this point, you know, 41 senators can stop pretty much anything. And the fact is that Congress is back in session next week, which leads me to note that we'll be watching how all this unfolds and all the other financial news. And where can you find it? At wnyc.org/business. And you can take this program with you as a podcast available for free on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC.